My name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and thank you for joining us. It's always an honor and a privilege to stand before you and present the Word of God, and I pray and hope that as you hear God's Word, that you respond accordingly. Amen? Amen. I'm still friends with Pastor Greg, so it's all good, Pastor Greg. As Pastor Greg said, for the past several weeks, we've been going through this topic or this series called Fake News. And we've been trying to unpack and see what the gospel is not. And today, we're going to see what the gospel is. And I pray that your hearts and your mind will be enlightened. And I pray that God will do something profound in your hearts today. Amen. Could you bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your house and to hear your word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will visit us this morning. Speak to each one of us individually, Almighty God, and even so collectively, oh Father God, as we hear your word and try to live your word on a day-by-day basis. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How many of us in here have ever tried to change? Good majority of us, good. I don't know about you, but I've tried to change certain aspects of my life, and you know, change is hard, is it not? You know, because we build our lives on certain patterns, on certain habits, and you know, because change is hard, we might do certain things for a couple of weeks, and then after a couple of weeks, we start to we're not seeing the results we wanted to see. You know, probably we wanted to change our size, right? I leave that alone. Or probably we wanted to change our height. Or probably we wanted to change, you know, just our skill set or our knowledge base. And because change is hard and because we don't know how to persevere and to push through, after a while, we give up and we revert to the way we were before. Am I the only one that has ever happened to? Change is hard. And so when it comes to change, there are certain things that we do to measure change, aren't there? We tend to do a before and a... Talk back to me. Come on, we're in church. You can't talk back to me. We tend to do a before and a... All right, so if we're trying to gain weight or we're trying to lose weight, we take a before snapshot, right? And then we compare it to... Perfect. Awesome. Kids who are going through school, the whole purpose of school is to train and to educate our young ones. And so they normally take a test when they get into the grade. And at the end of their schooling, they take another test because they want to measure change. And if that change is positive, they get a degree. If it's not, what do they get these days? Okay. They get a pass or something. Okay. but change, all of us go through changes, but the reality is that change is hard. For most of us, it's very easy to change those things that are external to us, isn't it? We can do certain things. We can engage in certain activities to change the things that are external to us. We can go back to school. We can learn a skill. We can, you know, have somebody impart to us knowledge and everything like that. But when it comes to changing the heart, that's one of the hardest things there is. It's hard, and you could even say it's impossible. Amen? And so today we're going to look at the gospel and talk about the essence of the gospel, because really the essence of the gospel is about life change. It's about changing who you are, not just on a surface level, but changing the very essence of who you are so that you can be all that God has called you to be. Amen? Amen. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles handy, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. And I'm going to encourage you to get your Bibles out, and if you don't, it's going to be on the screen here. And we're going to see what the Lord has to say to us about change. Amen? And the gospel message. It says here, "As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were made by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved. I want to say that one more time. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen? Amen. In this passage, you see where Paul, he's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he's highlighting, if you will, what the gospel looks like, the essence of the gospel. And as we said before, the essence of the gospel is about life change. When Jesus came and he was about to start his ministry, and if you read Mark, the book of Mark, you see where he says, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when Jesus uses that word repent, he's really saying that we ought to change directions. Our life ought to go in a whole new direction. Before you were going down that street, because of the gospel, because of the kingdom, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we are no longer going down that street, we're going down this street. It is a change in direction. When we speak of the gospel, it's talking about a change in direction of our lives. And so as Paul begins to unpack what the gospel looks like, he speaks to several aspects of our humanity, and we're going to talk about them today. He speaks about our state, he speaks about our lifestyle, and he speaks about agency. And agency is just a fancy word of saying the person who is responsible for bringing about a certain result. Does that make sense? It's just a fancy word for that. So he speaks of our state, he speaks of our lifestyle, and he also speaks of agents or agency. And so let's jump to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin. Here Paul is talking about our state. In other words, before we came to Christ, we were dead. And what he's saying here is not that we were dead physically, because all of us, we were born at some point in our lives. We just didn't just appear on the scene like that. We were born. We went through a whole natural birthing process. But he's saying here, when he uses the word dead here, he really means someone who is separated from God, someone who does not have the life of God in them. And so then you can understand that somebody could be walking yet dead. Walking dead. Okay, so he says here that our state before we came to Christ, our state before the gospel was preached to us and we accepted the gospel, was that we were dead in our transgressions and sin. And it's interesting here that Paul uses the word transgression and sin. We're gonna go with Bible today. Don't worry. The word transgression here really means to deviate from a certain path. Right, you're going along a certain path, and there are boundaries that are defined, but somewhere along the lines you decide to deviate from that path and go off your own and do your own thing. You have transgressed. The word sin here means you have missed the mark. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, history was never my favorite subject. My daughter, oh my goodness, this is the first time she's realizing this, but history was never my favorite subject. And so when I used to study for history and stuff like that, I always used to miss the mark. In other words, I failed. Right? There is a standard that is set, and because we have not measured up to that standard, we have missed the mark. That's what it means to sin. So when he says that we have, that we were dead in our transgression and sin, he means that we have gone our own way, we have done our own thing, and not only that, we've completely missed the mark that God has set for us to do. Does that make sense? And he says that when we deviate from the path of God, when we miss the standard that God has set for us, we are in essence dead. The Spirit of God is not in us. We have missed the mark. We are dead. So that was our state. It says, in which you once lived when you followed the ways of this world and of the rules of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He says now, because of our state, that translates into a certain lifestyle. Because we have missed the mark, because we are doing our own thing, because we are not living up to God's standard, it translates then to a certain lifestyle, to a certain pattern of life. And he says here that we used to do these things, that we used to engage. He says, verse 3, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Paul, what are you saying? Paul is saying that when we live our lives divorced, empty of God's Spirit, says that we live according to our own desires. We live according to our own thought process. And we see this happening every day, don't we? Today, there was a point in time when you could say to somebody, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Today, if you say that to someone, they will curse you out and just stop being your friend altogether, right? Because everyone wants to do their own thing. Everyone wants to do what is right in their own eyes. No one wants to live according to a certain standard anymore. And God is saying that, listen, Paul is saying here that when we are dead in our trespasses and sin, that is the result. That is the outcome. We live according to our own desires. We live according to our own thoughts. And we live according to our own cravings. But he goes on, says, like the rest, we by nature were deserving of wrath. In other words, Paul is saying that because of our sin, because of our state, we were deserving of a particular consequence, and that consequence was God's wrath. If you could turn the slide, you should. So here I want to outline, before the gospel, before we accepted Christ, this was our condition. We were dead, we live in a very reactionary lifestyle, and then, you know, it was all about me, myself, and I. Right? Could I talk about lifestyle for a second? How many of us know that when somebody is dead, they can't respond to anything? Yes. Okay, thank you. I mean, you can kick it, it just doesn't respond. Right? Because it's living according to a different, it's operating according to a different laws or ideas or principles. Paul is saying that when we live in our transgressions and sin, we are considered dead. But when we are considered dead here, it means that we are separated from God, and it really means that we are reactionary in our lifestyle. What do I mean by that? Instead of considering what we're about to do, we just react. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody says to you, you know, somebody says something to you, and all of a sudden you get angry, and because you're angry, all of a sudden you just say something just right, just like that, and it cuts and puts down the person? That is reactionary. Okay, all of us, we drive a car, so somebody cuts us off in the middle, and before we know it, something comes out of our, they didn't hear it, but we heard it. That is reactionary. You're on the job and the boss says something to you and you don't like what the boss is saying, and all of a sudden you feel this anger starts to build up inside of you, and before you know it, you're stamping your feet and you want to quit. That is reactionary. And when we live our lives like that, it's saying to us that there is something going on in the heart that we are not aware of. And many a times the way we try to change our lives, right, is that we look at surface things, and we try to change the surface things and not go below the surface and look at the root cause of the issue. Let me break that down for you. The pattern of our lives is always like this. We are either put in a situation or a relationship. This is the pattern. We're either put in a situation or a relationship. Some kind of a conflict occurs. We exhibit a particular behavior. And if the outcome of that behavior is good or bad, we try to change either our behavior, we try to change the conflict, or we try to change the situation or the relationship. Do you follow that? Okay, one more time. Okay, one more time. We are always put in a situation or relationship. A conflict always occurs. We exhibit a particular behavior, and depending on the outcome of that behavior, we either try to change our behavior, we either try to change the conflict, or we try to change the relationship or the situation. Does that make sense? Okay. You're married. A relationship. Your wife says something to you that gets you upset. Conflict. You exhibit a particular behavior, you begin to shout at your wife, right? Now, your wife now in turn says, who do you think you are shouting at? Okay, let's move forward. That was me earlier in my marriage. Now I've learned. Who do you think you are shouting at me like that? And the outcome of that is that we have now become disconnected. We've now become distant, a negative outcome. So what do we do? We go back and we say, you know what? The next time something like that occurs, either I'm going to avoid the situation altogether, avoid the conflict altogether, ignore it as though it did not occur, or I'm going to change the way how I behave in that particular situation. I will not shout anymore, because every time I shout, I get an outcome that I don't like. But let me suggest something to you, that if we're only trying to change the situation or the relationship, if we're only trying to avoid the conflict, if we're only trying to change our behavior in that particular situation, we're dealing with surface level issues. We have not dealt with the foundational issues of the heart. Amen? And Paul is saying that whenever we live our lives in dead, and whenever we're in this dead state, and whenever we live our lives according to our own desires, according to our own lust, according to our own cravings, according to our own thought process, we are living a life that is reactionary, and it's all focused on me, myself, and I. Paul is saying that that's how we lived before the gospel. That's how we used to live before Christ. And some of us are in here and we're saying, that's how I'm living right now, Pastor. Don't worry, there's hope for you. Amen. 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 Let's move on and see. That was who we were before. Let's look at who we are now, or who we ought to be now. So Paul continues and he goes down to verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, but, I love that word, because it suggests that there is a change in direction. It suggests that what happened before was just cursory, if you will. In other words, it was in my past. Now I'm looking towards my future. It says, but, because of his great love for us, God who is what? God who is what? God who is what? Rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. This is powerful. Because here we are, what Paul is saying, that here you were dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. What Paul is saying here is that, listen, when you were dead in your transgressions and sins, you didn't love God. You might have liked him, but you didn't love him. Right? Because to love God means to obey him. Right? So he says, here you are in your transgressions and sin, and really you are acting in rebellion towards God. Here you are in your transgressions and sin, and you didn't have any affinity for Jesus Christ. Here you are in your transgressions and sin, and guess what? We were crucifying Christ. And Paul is saying that even when we were dead in our transgressions and sin, we hated God, we were acting in rebellion towards God, we were crucifying Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that even when we were doing that, God still loved us. God still cared for us. God, even though we were crucifying Christ, he was actually dying for us. Whew. That is what the gospel is about. Even when we were antagonistic towards him, hostile towards him, he still loved us. And because he loved us, he reached out and grabbed us, and he made us alive. He made us alive. He made us alive. In other words, I could not resurrect myself from the place I was. Christ had to do that for me. Amen? So number one, the first thing that God does is that he changed our state. He changed our state. If you can flip to that next slide, that would be great. The first thing that he did is that he changed our state. Before we were dead, now we are. Come on, talk back to me. Before we were dead, now we are. Oh man, that's awesome. That then now translates into a different lifestyle. Before we were reactionary, we operated based on our impulse. We acted just based on our sheer raw emotions, right? Now we don't react. Now we respond. There's a difference. There's a difference. Tell somebody there's a difference. Oh yeah, there's a difference. You see, Kurt, when I react, I might do something to you that I might end up regretting. Oh, you don't. I think I told you this story before, but when I was 16, 17, I used to do martial arts, and I was a green belt. I can move now, you know, you're getting a little bit older and stuff, you know, stuff. And so, you know, one evening, my mom, you know, we got into a heated argument. Do you know what I mean by heated?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what I mean by heated? And so, you know, as I recall it, she took up something to swing at me. And in martial arts, you learn how to. Okay, talk back. Come on, it's spontaneous. I mean, it's in your muscles. I mean, so all of a sudden I was about to. That's reaction right there. But the Lord held my hand, and I. In that moment, I caught myself and ran out of the house because I understood that had I followed through, something would have happened. Reacting. Do you see? Whenever we react, we're going to end up doing something that we're going to regret. But when we respond, we're able to slow down our thought process in that moment, gain control of your emotions. Because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. We're able to gain control at the moment and respond in a way that is appropriate for the moment. Does that make sense? In other words, when you go to a restaurant and the waitress brings you the wrong menu, you don't flip a lid. Have you ever been there before? You're in a restaurant eating with a friend and you know, the waitress either brings the wrong juice or the wrong liquid or whatever, and all of a sudden, you can add whatever you want to that. I'm saying, why are you reacting that way? It's just an honest mistake. Some of you are like, Pastor, that's me. The reality is that when Jesus Christ is living in your heart, when the Holy Spirit is living in your heart, he brackets your emotional responses. In other words, we don't get too high where we're overexcited about small things, and we don't get too overly depressed when small things happen to us in a negative way. In other words, our emotions are bracketed by the grace of God. Amen? You might be going to work tomorrow and the boss gives you a pink slip. You don't go back and curse him out. And say, okay, this is your pink slip. I will tell you what you can do with the pink slip. No, you don't do that. You're in church. But because Jesus Christ is alive in your heart, you can say thank you for the pink slip. And you realize that if God closes this door, if God closes this opportunity, if God allows you to leave this job, it means then he has something better for you to do. And therefore, you don't get depressed because you've just been fired. Because you understand that this job is not your world. Do you understand what the gospel does? It changes our hearts. So that we're not dealing with surface things anymore, we're dealing with heart level issues. And of course, the agent is Jesus Christ. You couldn't operate on your own heart. Christ had to do that. I mean, imagine if you were to go to a hospital and the doctor says, you know what, I'm going to do an operation on myself. Like, doc, you're crazy. Where did you study? Where did you get your degree? Oh, you're going to put yourself, you know, put you under and then operate on your own self. That's just ludicrous. No, even the doctor needs somebody else to operate on him or her. We can't operate on our own heart. We needed Christ to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's move forward real quickly. So what Paul does is that he goes on and he shows us, if you will, bring this up. Awesome. What we see in the first seven verses is this, that before we were dead, now we are alive. Before we used to react, now we respond. Before we always used to focus on ourselves, now the focus and the emphasis is on Jesus Christ. And here is the good news. The good news is that if you find yourself on the dead side, you can change sides. Amen? You can change sides. If you find yourself always on the left side, if you will, always reacting, always on the outburst, always can't live up to the standards of God, guess what? You can shift over to the right side, because that is the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel is that Jesus Christ has come. He has paid the price for you and me so that we can live a life that is pleasing to God. Amen? You don't have to do it by yourself. You can't do it off yourself. It is a gift of God. That is what Jesus Christ has done. So verse 8 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourself, but it is a gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast." What does it say there? Not by what? So that what? Come on, read with me. Not by
works.
So that? That's important, because when we live in a competitive society, when we live in a performance-based culture, oh, how did you get in? Man, you don't know what I had to do. Man, I gave $1 million and, I cut off my arm. That's what I did to get in. Oh, what did you do? Oh, you try to one-up somebody else. Oh, I gave $2 million and I had to sever both arms to come. It's like... In a competitive culture, we're always trying to what? Outdo the other person. But God says, not so. This gift is too important. This thing is too important to make it competitive. It's going to be a level playing field. And the only basis is going to be faith. Amen? Do you believe? That's the only basis. The last slide I want to bring up is this, and then we're going to close after this, is this. When we deal with the gospel, We're not dealing with surface things. We're dealing with hard things. And if you look at the slide, you'll see here, we're at the bottom of everything that we do. The foundation of everything we do is what is coming out of the heart. The Bible says it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. In other words, it's out of the whatever is happening on the heart, whatever is happening in the heart, that is what is driving all the things that we engage in. Amen? And so if we're living on the side of death, sin and pride is what dominates the heart. But if we're living the gospel life, it is love and humility that is the primary motivation that's going on in the heart. Amen? So Mike, you can come to me and say the worst things to me. I hope that you don't. But because of who I am in Jesus Christ, I can walk away and not feeling angry or upset with you. Does that make sense? Because you're living for Jesus Christ, people can do the worst things to you. People can betray you. People can deny you. People can reject you. People can do all sorts of things towards you. But because of who you are in Jesus Christ, you can still love them. You can still do good for them. You can still pray for them. You can still be a blessing towards them. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? Yes, it is impossible if you're living a life without Jesus Christ. But if we are living in Christ, if we are living the gospel mandate, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but we are empowered to do so. Amen? It's a heart issue. The essence of the gospel is life change, which occurs when we invite Jesus Christ into our hearts by faith. So the question I have for you this morning, which side are you on? Which side are you on? There's a side that's, you know, that's dead and that's supposed to be saying fake news on the other side here. The side of sin and pride, that's all fake news. That's saying, you know what? I can do this myself. I can fix myself. I can go to school and I can go through all these self-help programs and I can make myself better. That is fake news. The good news says, no, you can't fix yourself. Come to Jesus. You can't operate on your own heart. Only the Holy Spirit can. Amen? And as we close this morning, and I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, Romans 10, verse 9 to 10 says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess or profess your faith and are saved. If you're saying to me, Pastor, I find myself on the side of death. I find myself where I'm always reacting. I find myself always trying to make myself better. But Pastor, I'm always failing. The question is, how can I switch sides? How can I switch sides? The Bible tells us you can believe in your heart today in Jesus Christ. Amen? Could you stand to your feet with me? Could you bow your heads? I don't know where you are this morning, but God knows, you know. And the reality is that all of us, we struggle with this notion of life change. I struggle with it. Because I realize that whenever I read the scriptures, I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not. But you know what grace says? Grace says you are not there yet, but guess what? I have supplied everything you need to get there. He supplied his presence. He's supplied his power. He supplied his word. And the best thing of all is that he's living on the inside of us. So even though I'm not there yet, even though I might still struggle, guess what? Because he's living on the inside of me, I can still get there. That is grace. That is the gospel. Amen? So the question is that we grapple with this morning is, where are you? Which side are you on? And if you find today, if you find yourself on the side of the left side before the gospel, the gospel is available to you this morning. It is available to you this morning. Actually, it is you. It is for you that Christ died. So that you might change sides, so that you might switch sides. Amen? Bow your heads. Bow your heads. If you find yourself on the side without Christ, this morning the Bible says all you have to do is to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead. And so if you believe that this morning, could you just pray this simple prayer with me? Father God, thank you for your son Jesus Christ, who died for my sins. God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that I need your grace and I need your mercy. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Come into my heart, I pray, and transform me from the inside out. I accept your son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Father God, I thank you for your children this morning. Father God, we are all in this together. Father God, the pastor is no better than the member. It's no better. No one stands aside or apart. All of us are on level playing field at the foot of the cross. So God, I pray that even as this word has come to our hearts this morning, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enable us, oh Father God, to move forward and to progress and to grow in you. Father God, teach us your way. Teach us your will. But above all, God, empower us to do your will. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. Continue to change our desires, God. Continue to change our thought process. Continue to change our hearts, God, to follow hard after you so that we might be the people, so that we might be the church, so that we might be the nation, the country that you want us to be. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.